Blog Talk Radio.
Great week, a lot of big announcements,
waiting to see a couple things. We want to make one announcement or two announcements actually before we start out. We want to send our best thoughts and wishes to the family of Manny Santos, former Commonwealth lightweight champ. He passed away in New Zealand on Tuesday at the age of 72. And we want to send our best wishes out to the Tim Markham family. Tim was not only instrumental in starting the Arena Football League. He was he's a Hall of Famer. He was an all-time Hall of Famer coach and coached many teams. We appreciate everything that Tim did for the league and for us, and really give everybody our best thoughts on that. Well, I see. Let's see here. Where should we start? The Pac-Man loves, or Aram loves the weather, the Merryweather people, Mayweather people. They don't like Aram. According to the latest scoop on that magical administrative paper, Yahoo, they have now told Mr. Aram that if there is to be a fight, and if it was to take place in April 12th, that they would be the ones setting the blueprint, and it will be not a 50-50 split. That's on the on tonight.
You know, that fight had it, at one time, maybe 2 years ago, it was a 50-50 split. The fight had kind of degraded from a 50-50 split once Pacquiao's pay-per-view numbers weren't quite doing what Mayweather's were doing. So Mayweather was going to stand firm to that. Once he lost to Tim Bradley, though we all agreed he won, and, you know, just about everyone except those three blind mice who judged the fight thought
right.
Manny Pacquiao won. Once he lost to Tim Bradley, it obviously changed what was going to happen at the negotiating table. Obviously, the loss to Marquez completely diminished Pacquiao at the negotiating table in regards to a fight with Mayweather. His battle with Brandon Rios, it was expected to do less because it was taken overseas. It was done in Macau, China. The fight did about 500,000 pay-per-view buys. Mayweather's always over a million, so there's no way he's going to meet Pacquiao fairly 50-50 at the bargaining table, and he wasn't within the last couple of years. But I think the true realistic thing about this whole negotiation is this BS, because the fight, there's no way they will fight in April. Pacquiao's returning in April. Mayweather's already booked to return on Cinco de Mayo weekend at the MGM Grand. Pacquiao's booked April 12th at the MGM Grand. So the only way that fight would happen would be if it happened in May. And I can all but positively tell you that there's no way that fight would happen just based off Pacquiao's performance against Brandon Rios. He had a great performance against a limited but very quality world-class foe in Brandon Rios, but he hasn't moved the needle on Mayweather's radar yet. He would have to fight a Tim Bradley or a Juan Manuel Marquez. He'd have to beat one of those guys, someone on that level first, before Mayweather would even consider taking that fight. And to be quite frank with you, though Pacquiao is really the only name out there for Mayweather. Of course, there are other fights Mayweather could take, but still he's the one guy in that division, essentially, that Mayweather hasn't fought. The public is not clamoring for it. Even the public believes Pacquiao still needs another fight before he really deserves a fight with Mayweather coming off those two losses. Yes.
Right. Yeah, that didn't really make a whole lot of sense. I mean, the 12th, now they're Bob Arum saying, you know, the return to Vegas on the 12th of April, he could be either fighting Timothy Bradley, he named Manuel Marquez, and who was the other one? It was the Russian player.
Provinikov. And let me tell you what fight's not going to happen. You can all but count out the Provinikov fight. That is the fight that Aram really wants to make, because this year, Provinikov kind of became a household star, going life and death with Tim Bradley, who, even though he lost the fight, he basically beat the hell out of Bradley during that fight. And then he went and destroyed Mike Alvarado inside the distance a little later in the year. So Provinikov, you know, he's become kind of a breakout star for Aram, but that fight will not happen. because Provennikoff used to spar with Manny Pacquiao. The two are friends. They're stablemates as far as Freddie Roach is concerned, because Freddie Roach still kind of works with Provennikoff. So Freddie Roach said that's a fight he will not allow to happen. So I think you could pretty much cancel, should I say, Christmas on that fight.
Yeah.
And I basically expect Pacquiao to turn to Tim Bradley first. And the Bradley fight, I think, could be made. If not the Bradley fight, it'll be Marquez now.
Mm-hmm.
But I expect the Bradley fight to be made.
To get back in. I mean, he took, he didn't seem to be too thrilled with the last time they were out.
Who, Bradley or Pacquiao?
No, Marquez.
No, Marquez is, he's not interested. It's funny because Marquez is chasing a Bradley rematch.
Right.
And, you know, so those three are, they're all looking to dance with each other, just not necessarily in the order that any of them want. So,
yeah.
I really think the Pacquiao-Bradley fight has the best chance of being made.
Yeah. That's pretty much what Fight News thought it was going to be, but I guess we'll have to see. I just thought it was funny that all of a sudden Aram's coming out and said he wants to be buddies with everybody and he has no hard feelings against anyone, and then all of a sudden that's in Fight News, and then the next thing I pick up the start the computer up with the Yahoo page on, and there it is. They're saying there's no way, you know, we want to be, he can stand in the corner, we don't want any parts of him. They said, you know, it's our blueprint. We'll work the way we want to. You make him available, we'll make the fight. If you don't want to make him available, just count it out and go someplace else. So,
let me tell you, I used to tell Zito off air that for the longest time, the best chance of that fight ever happening is
mm-hmm.
if Floyd Mayweather were to take a loss.
Mm-hmm.
If he were to lose and then go ahead and get a rematch, you know, because he would obviously have a rematch
sure.
if he lost to someone. But honestly, that would be the best chance, because what's going to happen is Manny Pacquiao and Bob, you know, let's just take Pacquiao out of the equation. Bob Arum is not going to deal with Floyd Mayweather and the money team from a position of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
With Pacquiao a few years ago, he had a position of equality,
mm-hmm.
or he would do it from a position of strength. Right
mm-hmm.
now, he would have to do it from a position of weakness, hence the kind words in the media. But then the quick turn and say, well, I'll just make, you know, Pacquiao against Marquez or Bradley. And he stopped
sure.
mentioning Mayweather's name, because the fact of the matter is that he can't control that at all right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, on a completely different subject, but it still has something to do with politics, Vladimir Klitschko is not worrying about defending his title at all. In fact, that's probably the farthest thing from his mind, because now – he's in deep into politics, and he's even demanding. He sent an ultimatum to the president of his country to release political prisoners who were part of his URA party that it's in that country. So
Vitaly has become kind of very, very. I mean, he was always involved politically. You know, he's a brilliant man. But as of late, he's become, you know, extremely charged politically. He was involved in protests in Kiev, and he is really moving towards not only running for presidency, but really what he feels is making significant changes in the Ukraine. With that said, he obviously has not defended his title. You know, he's not scheduled to defend it. He has his mandatory, which is Burmeister Verne, who became his mandatory with his victory over Chris Areola. There's been much talk of Stavern and Areola rematching for Vitaly's vacant title. The reason why that's being held up, even though it's assumed that that's eventually going to happen, is because though Vitaly is jumped in head first into politics, he hasn't announced his retirement from boxing. But
right.
he's still holding up the belt. So essentially they're waiting for Vitaly to either fight or to announce his retirement. I could see Vitaly announcing his retirement. He's done that before, and he was still held as champ emeritus because, you know, they thought he, you know, still could come back and get a title shot immediately, which he did, and he won, and, you know, which is why he's a champ now. So essentially it just comes down to Vitaly retiring. If he retires, then that's the match that appears to be made for the vacant belt.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because I saw that they're coming out now and telling Vladimir that he's got to defend his title against the WBO, was it the Alex Lipierre?
Alex LePaul.
LePaul.
And the thing about this is that the one thing about the Klitschkos, because the belts are important to them, even in this day of tarnished belts and belts meaning a little bit less more, the belts have always been, you know, important to the Klitschko brothers, which is why they have all of them. And so one thing about the Klitschkos is these guys will fight their mandatories, you know, so which is why, you know, again, everyone's expecting Vitaly to retire and eventually give up that belt. Meanwhile, Vladimir is going to fight his mandatory to keep all three belts he has. And I would somewhat expect that if Vitaly retires and that belt is vacated, a part of me thinks Vladimir would eventually go after that belt before he stepped into the sun, too. So,
yeah, it's
things are getting interesting in the heavyweight division. They are.
Yeah, they are. Another thing that, you know, we talked to Glenn a couple weeks ago, and Glenn
Johnson?
Yeah, Glenn Johnson. And
Glenn Johnson who's about to fight at cruiserweight?
Yeah, Bobby Gunn.
Yeah, how about that?
December 18th at the Sands up in Bethlehem.
Yeah, he's stepping in for Roy Jones. Roy Jones was originally fighting Bobby Gunn, but now he's fighting in Russia, obviously. It was a money thing, probably more money for him to come to Russia to fight.
Sure.
And so Glenn Johnson has stepped in. So I'm kind of surprised. What was Glenn talking about last time he was on the air? And did he mention anything about, again, stepping away from retirement, step back into the squared circle?
He said a couple things. He said something was in the air, and he wasn't going to be able to tell us until he got something. But then he talked about there's some kind of a deal where some of the retired boxers, like Holyfield, is now over in Russia trying to do some things over there for the Russian people and for boxing. And he was invited to go someplace. I'm trying to figure out. I remember where he said he was going. Just somewhere overseas. He was talking about going overseas to work. So, we'll. I don't know if you guys want to take a ride up to Bethlehem or not. I'll get a hold of Glenn and see if we can't get you passes.
You know, it's funny because my wife and I almost decided to go because it's, you know, it's within driving distance. We wanted to take a quick honeymoon. We chose the Poconos, but Bethlehem Sands was one of the places. It was just booked out for the night. So I heard some great things about that place, and it would be outstanding to catch it, to catch Glenn Johnson fight there. Had he said in the training? Because, again, this fight's on very short notice. He's fighting at cruiserweight. You know, last time we saw Glenn, he was, I believe, 175 for Anthony Fonfero, 168 for Groves. I forget which fight was last. Again, he's never fought at cruiserweight that I know of, that I can recall. He's been a middleweight, super middleweight, light heavyweight. So this would be his heaviest weight in his career. So, you know, I'm hoping Glenn was able to get in shape. We've had Bobby Gunn on the show. Bobby Gunn's a tough guy, man.
Yeah.
He's a tough guy. You know, he's not going to have the technique or the skill or experience of Glenn, but he's going to be a naturally bigger, younger guy. And he, you know, he's probably trained a full camp for this.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Glenn had said in his interview that he had been working on some new stuff. He told us he was working with a new nutritionalist, and he was working with a guy for speed. And but he, you know, he just, you know, Glenn, he gets laughing like hell, and if he doesn't want to tell you anything, he ain't gonna tell you. But
I tell you what, if you're telling me that during my last absence, when Glenn was on the air, he was talking that he's working with a nutritionist, he's working with a guy for speed. That lets me know that, even though this fight to the general public is on short notice, Glenn Johnson had planned on stepping in the ring anyway. So,
sure. He says
with that said, he's a consummate professional. He's a hard hat guy. I expect him to be well prepared.
Yeah, he said he needed the he needed a break from boxing, and
right.
that he just felt that he's more energized now. And of course, if the if his football team and his basketball team start winning, he'll be really real.
Wow. But you know what? It's funny because looking at Glenn's last two losses, you know, through time-colored glasses in retrospect, so to speak. Mm-hmm. He lost to George Groves, and he lost to Anthony Fonseca. Since then, Fonseca has knocked out everybody's butt, and he's becoming somewhat of a contender, a fringe contender in the light heavyweight division. I'm sure he's a top 10 contender by one of the IBC or ABC sanctioning bodies. And George Groves, wow. I don't know if you know this, but while we were gone, George Groves gave Carl Froch hell.
Yeah.
Hell. I mean, not Carl Froch stiff in the first round and, you know, proceeded to just beat Carl Froch to the punch with clean, hard punches until Carl Froch, you know, he's the warrior. And he came back and got Groves in trouble. It was a very controversial stoppage. It looked like the ref intervened way too early. But, like, Carl Froch is not doesn't necessarily want to give George Groves a rematch. He admits the fight was tough. He doesn't think anything was controversial. He said, hey, if the ref didn't stop it, the guy would have left on a stretcher. Maybe, but Groves wasn't to that point yet, and he was clearly ahead in the fight. But with that said, again, those are Glenn Johnson's last two losses. George Groves, who's proven in his fight with Carl Froch that he can, you know, compete at a very elite level, and Anthony Fonseca, another young gun, who's climbing his way up to elite status. So Glenn didn't lose to, you know, Hammond Eggers. He lost to world-class opposition. So, I could see why in his mind he definitely still could make a comeback. He still could be competitive at a very high level.
Yeah.
And to be quite honest with you, too, Butch, Bobby Gunn's a friend of ours, but Bobby Gunn's not on the level of Glenn's last two opponents, the last two guys that beat Glenn. So, you know, again, if Glenn has anything left in the tank, if he's well-prepared, and more importantly, if he can handle the weight. Bobby's used to being at that weight and a lot heavier. That's going to be a pretty entertaining fight. Both guys come forward. You know, who's going to take the backward step in that fight?
That's right. Being up there in that area, I'm pretty sure this is a Duva show card. But I'll have to explain. Because she pretty much rules that casino and the one up there in New York.
Well, you know, again, originally Roy Jones was supposed to headline. So
right.
I don't have to actually ever work with Roy Jones. Obviously for him to pull out, I doubt seriously. I think the name of his production company is called Square Ring. So I doubt seriously a Square Ring for him just to pull out like that. So
yeah.
I would assume.
Yeah,
because there's no way he's going to, as a promoter, spend all that money only for him to pull out. So, yeah,
right.
So it could very well be Kathy's part. And speaking of Kathy Duva, while we're talking about light heavyweights, I remember she was a little trepidatious about Sergey Kovalev fighting Ismail Salak. She didn't want to, you know, so-called jump ahead. She didn't want to think too far ahead. Boy, he destroyed Salak.
Right.
Did you see Kathy on TV at rings?
Boy, yeah, I did.
Man, she has to be excited. That guy is a freight train. He is a freight train.
Yeah, that was a good fight. Very good fight. Yeah. That shows her dominance down there. So that's why I'm thinking that with Atlantic City, it might be she and Nick getting this thing together for Mansoor. You know, because that's where they both work out of. But, Freddie Roach seems to have reached across the border again, and he's taken Antonio DeMarco into his fold. Did you know that?
Didn't, has he?
Yes.
Now, let me tell you, I like Antonio. I really like Antonio DeMarco. He was one of the last fights of Edwin Valerio, the late, great Edwin Valerio. A lot of people predicted great things for him. The reason why I like DeMarco is because, first of all, I kind of love Mexican fighters. I love that Aztec warrior style that they bring. But the reason why I like DeMarco is because he's an aggressive boxer puncher. The pairing of DeMarco and Freddie Roach, my initial thought says, I don't know if it's a great pairing. I think Freddie Roach, again, will make DeMarco a better offensive fighter. With that said, one thing you can't cure is DeMarco's speed. DeMarco's, he's slow, he's flat-footed. In a sense, like a more precise Brandon Rios, but, you know, that slow, flat-footed. He's, you know, to me, more versatile than Rios, but he's still slow, he's still flat-footed. And Freddie's going to make him better offensively. But, again, sure. I don't think Freddie enhances defense. And DeMarco's a tall guy. Freddie's going to have him coming forward. I don't know that that pairing is going to be as fruitful as you might think it may be, personally.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's funny because
but then again, you never know who was training DeMarco. I mean, for all I know, he could have been training himself. I think maybe it was his dad training him.
Romeo Quitari, Quitrate.
Yeah, so this could be a tremendous step up in training,
and
quality
even
of a trainer.
Pictures of him with Freddie and Mitz up. So it's I guess it's official now. That just seems to be, again, Freddie reaching across. I mean, he's only right there in San Diego anyway, so it's not a very, very big reach.
And you know what? And again, Freddie's reach is global as far as, his training acumen and his reputation, specifically because of Manny Pacquiao. His reach is global. And there are a lot of fighters that want to work with Freddie Roach. And I think a lot of styles mesh with Freddie Roach. So I think Freddie Roach can make any fighter better. But I think, just like any trainer, I think certain styles fit better with, certain trainers, certain fighters. Emmanuel Stewart is, obviously Hall of Fame, the late, great Emmanuel Stewart, one of the greatest of all time. Zito never really particularly cared for how Emmanuel Stewart trained his fighters. He thought he made them a little robotic. So, not every fighter fits every trainer style and vice versa. So it'll be interesting to see if it yields fruit. Again, as far as I'm concerned personally, and I know Zito feels this way, the jury is really still out on the Miguel Cotto-Freddie Roach pairing.
Right.
I honestly thought that was the worst place for Miguel Cotto to go. I think, again, Freddie Roach is a brilliant trainer. But I just thought in the heat of battle, with Freddie Roach teaches is not what's going to help Miguel Cotto, honestly. So, we'll see. Again, the jury's still out. I could be wrong. I'd be happy to be wrong, but, we'll see.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know if you saw the legendary referee Richard Steele was inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame on June 14th. Sorry, it's going to be June 5th and 6th of 2014.
And that's going to be the same class, I believe, with De La Hoya and Trinidad as well, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a hell of a weekend to go to the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, that's for sure.
I definitely think during our generation, Mills Lane has probably been the most popular referee. And you know what? Known as the referee with the most quality, integrity, wasn't he like a Nevada district judge or something? As well.
He was a circuit court judge, yeah.
He was a circuit court judge, yes. So he was a man who was known for his integrity. The funny thing is with Zito, it's funny if Zito were here, he would tell this story because it really burns him up every time he thinks about it. Zito, as great a referee as Mills Lane is, whenever Zito thinks of Mills Lane, he always thinks of him for the one time he didn't do such a great job. And part of the reason why is, for the first time, he was probably confronted with something in a boxing ring he had never seen before. And that was the second fight between Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson.
Right.
And that's the one where Mike Tyson bit his ear. And what Zito always complained about was Mike Tyson bit his ear off. And the ref comes over, asks Holyfield what happened. Holyfield's like, he bit my ear. And the ref's like, all right, continue. So he starts fighting again. Tyson takes another bite of his ear. The ref allows it to continue. Then when the round ends, Mills Lane goes, all right, it's over. It's disqualified. My brother was like, how many bites does it take to get you disqualified? So he always thought that was funny, but it was so obvious that Mills Lane was like, what the hell should I do? I've never dealt with this before.
It's in the book.
And plus, if Tyson was biting Holyfield's ear, he's probably like, I don't want to disqualify so I can get some security around me.
It is going to be the biggest weekend in boxing.
Oh man, wow!
That's been a great thing, and Steele was called the first Mayweather and Jab Zuda fight back in 2000.
Mills Lane?
No, Steele, Richard Steele.
Oh, Richard Steele. You know what Richard Steele is probably most famous for, which fight he's probably easily most famous for, would be the Julio Cesar Chavez and Aldo Taylor first fight.
Right. Right.
You remember that? He was the ref who stopped it with like 3 seconds left.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a legitimate stoppage, in my opinion, because Nelson Taylor never responded to him. But that, you know, of course, it, at that time, it was highly controversial.
Sure.
You know, the funny thing is if you think about it, but you being a football coach and a relatively pretty big guy, you should know this better than anybody. The thing about a referee is a good referee is just like a great offensive lineman. You won't know about him until he makes a mistake.
That's right.
You know, once he makes a mistake, it's like, oh, I know who that guy is.
Kind of like
Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin. Honestly, who had heard of those guys, right? Richie Incognito was a pro bowler. They were starters. Nobody heard of them until this whole bullying thing comes up.
Yeah. I understood that Richie was coming back this week.
Richie Incognito?
Yeah.
From what I heard, they could only suspend him, obviously, for 4 games, so.
So he's ready to come back. This is going to be an interesting weekend for them.
Well, you know, what will be interesting is to see if they actually play him or they just put him on an inactive list.
Right, right.
Because he can return to the team. It doesn't mean they have to play him, though, right?
Right, nope.
Yeah.
Guys, on another note, in a very big thing here as a member of the Outback Bowl committee, the SEC championship game is actually being played right now between Missouri and Auburn, and Auburn's only up by 1 point, 28-27.
Wow, it was 28-20, and I remember when Mizzou had the lead 10-7 early on. It's a good game.
Yeah, Mizzou pulled a touchdown out of their ass with only 4 seconds to go in the game. In the half, I'm sorry. But now it's the second half, and they're playing tough.
Unless Auburn is down by 30 points with no time left on the clock, I can't count them out. Because I've seen, you know, the funny thing is I watch a little bit of college football. I only caught a couple Auburn games this year. Both games I caught. The Iron Bowl, we saw what happened there. And the game earlier, they've had two miracle finishes. And so, you know, I mean, I'm actually not surprised Mizzou's hanging tight. But, man, they just have a knockout punch at the very end that's heavenly. So it'll be interesting to see if Mizzou can pull off what would be an upset.
Yeah, they just showed the replay of the Iron Bowl and that immaculate run.
Can you imagine for the first time in a few years we might not have an SEC national champion?
Yeah. But let's try and give Dave a call. We told him we'd try to call him by 6:30, and it's just coming up on that now. So I'm going to leave the mic live, and we'll just call from the. See if we can.
You could go off the air if you wanted to. I could talk boxing with our fans and friends all day long. You know, tonight HBO has a triple header and Showtime has a quadruple header. So four fights on one channel, three fights on the other. Literally, you can watch boxing tonight.
Hello?
DVR.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing good. It's Ty and Frank.
Good.
And, we've been waiting for you. We see you have had some big fights coming up, huh?
Yeah, a lot going on. We have a fight at Dover Downs with coming up. We're targeting that one for February, and we're looking at Ray Robinson, our USBA champion. Trying to get him a top. We've had a lot of declines in regards to opponents. It's been very tough to find him a fight now since his last win, but good things are happening.
Good.
You know what, Dave? It's funny because we had Ray on the air before he fought Raynaud. And then we had him on the air a little while later. And one of the things that I had read in the news, and one of the things I mentioned to Ray, it's one of the reasons that pissed me off about boxing, is Raynaud went and was given a chance to fight a top-ranked fighter in Jesse Vargas, right coming off the loss off of Sugar Ray Robinson. And one of the cases I made to Ray is obviously the reason why he wasn't given that chance is because he knocked Raynor out. Raynor was given that chance because he was perceived as more vulnerable than Ray right now. And I was telling Ray, and maybe you could speak on this for me, because of what Ray's doing, what he will probably have the best chance to get is maybe a good veteran coming off a loss for him to get a good step up. A guy coming off a win or a guy trying to build momentum, Ray could be a little too much risk, a little too little reward. What do you think about that, Dave?
Well, it's interesting. Right now, my brother Nick, of course, he does a lot of international matchmaking. We've approached Malignaggi. He's nobody wants to fight Ray. I mean, it's been very frustrating because now you've got a guy that he knocks out the Olympian. He comes off three fights ago. He knocks out Terrence Coffin in a devastating knockout. Then he comes back and beats Morales from Florida for the interim NABA title. And then his last fight, of course, the African Olympian, Raynor, he not only beats Nar, but literally every single round, just before he knocks him out, knocks him down three times, he knocks him out. Yeah, so
and this was
in seven rounds.
Raynor, who was getting significant hype before that fight, too.
Correct. He just come out, he beat Ronald Cruz up in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And what bothers me, guys, is the fight fans, I'm so tickled, I'm seeing the blogs now, the fight fans, Ray Robinson, knew Ray Robinson was really an established amateur. He's a very, very good fighter. But he should be up there with these world champion fighters. Ray Robinson's been in the gyms. He's been in the fights. He's fought all these top guys. He's fought Porter and literally beat Porter in his hometown and gave Porter the decision. So for Ray not getting these opportunities, it's really sad for the sport of boxing because these are the type of guys that the fans want to see.
But, of course, for Bob Arum and for Jesse Vargas, it's much safer to fight the guy that Raynor knocked out instead of the guy that was the knocker-outer. The other thing, too, I wanted to ask you, Dave, is could Porter, you know, especially if he loses tonight to Devin Alexander, could he be, you know, a realistic possibility maybe because he would be looking for a fight, a USBA title would be on the line. It's a guy Porter might have some confidence because he's gotten a win before. Do you think that's a realistic option?
I don't think Porter would want that fight again. My brother and I, we've been very transparent with the promoters and everybody. You know, we're old school. The fans deserve it. Ray Robinson is the best welterweight in the world, and we will match him up against the best in the world. And we have, I can't mention names because we've been under negotiations, but there's some names right now that literally the fighters themselves have declined to fight Ray. You know, he's awkward, this and that. Well, that's what boxing's about. You should want to fight the best. And I feel like, to your point, that we wouldn't have a problem with that, but I don't believe he would take a fight with Robinson right now. I really believe Ray is really – what's happened in the last three fights is Ray has always been a left-handed awkward fighter. But now, since Bozy Ennis has been training him, Bozy has him settling down on his punches, and he's knocking people out. And so I think that that's – and he's peaking at the right time. He's a young guy, and we're excited. Of course, you can see I'm pro Ray Robinson. I've been in the sport since I was five, and when you get somebody like this that's a good clean liver, he trains 7 days a week, and he's going to be a great role model as a world champion. That's why I said we need to give him this opportunity.
You know, Dave, I remember seeing Ray fight a little early in his career. You know, the one good thing is his name gave a little bit of TV exposure early. And I tell you, seeing him fight live now, Jesus, I mean, the improvements that this kid has made is tremendous. And I thought he was talented and had potential before, but in a boxing game, it's really rare where you look up 6 years and the guy hasn't had any, you know, I mean, he's improved significantly, like the potential has panned out exactly how you thought it. Do you remember Ray when he was coming up, and is he about where you thought he was going to be? Can he still get better even?
Well, I think the opportunities, like right now, I tell you, the last three fights, to have the opportunity of getting the fight with Terrence Coffin, and I give Terrence Coffin credit because Terrence Coffin, he's another guy that he just likes to fight. So he matches up and Ray knocks for Terrence Coffin out, the Olympian. Then he comes back and he fights Morales, who is an established amateur. I think he was from like Columbia. And then Ray wins the interim NABA title with him. And I watched his maturity, as you remember Ray years ago, Ray used to move around a lot. He never settled down. He was so awkward. And then my buddies in the gym, these guys are like, oh, my God, this kid could punch. Now that they're settling down, he still gives those beautiful angles. He still boxes nice. a lot less jumping around, but he sits down on his punches now. And when he hit Gnar and knocked Gnar through the ropes out of the ring, it was a devastating combination. I was more concerned for Gnar's health because I just watched this Ray evolved into not only a beautiful boxer, but he had a heavy puncher. So, and I understand, you know, Vargas and Bradley and these guys not wanting to fight a guy like this. But at the same time, you know, if you want to be the best in the world, you got to fight guys like Ray Robinson.
Right.
Yeah. You have a pretty big fight coming up in Atlantic City very shortly, don't you?
Well, actually, it's interesting. I don't know if you know that Amir Mansour signed with Johan out of Philadelphia. So Joe's going to be managing him now. And we think the world – Amir's a great guy. He's got about a two-three-year window, and he knows that. And he's kind of in a hurry-up mode right now. And this is going to be a key fight for him. Russell Peltz will be doing his match his promoting and matchmaking now. My brother Nick, of course, has done it for years. Yes, Russell's involved with that. My brother Nick, as you know, he ended up getting until his very last fight. Amir, all of his fights until
right.
That's what we thought. That's why I brought the subject up. We thought he was still fighting for you.
I had read on Boxing Scene that he had signed with Johan, and that kind of surprised me because it was nothing that you guys had mentioned to us. So.
We, you know, guys, honestly, we didn't even know. We didn't know, but we still, we always take the high road, and I think the world of the guy,
awesome.
You know, and I pray that he gets the opportunity. You know, like 41 years old now, so. He's in striking distance. He's well, very similar to Ray Robinson. Except of course Amir is a very heavy puncher
and
that heavyweight division at his age.
Yeah. And he's in a much thinner division too than Ray. That's a big thing too. He is in a much thinner division.
Yeah.
Who is he fighting? I had read. I thought he had an opponent lined up. Who was he fighting? He's matched pretty decently, isn't he?
He is. He's what's his name? Outside of actually in Pennsylvania or Ohio, Russell made the match. It should be very competitive.
I remember I read that. This is he's matched very competitively. I remember reading the name. I just can't remember offhand. He's fighting. Isn't he fighting the 6'5" guy who beat Tor Hamer? He got knocked out by Deontay Wilder. Kelsey.
You know what? It's crazy. I've seen his name. It's in front of me, and I can't even – I'm drawing a blank on it. But he beat Harris his last fight, and that was a good win for him at Dover Downs.
Yeah, you and I are thinking the same guy, but neither one of us could think of his name. But we know who he is.
I know.
Yeah,
now that you asked me, I forgot.
Yeah, yep.
Guys, we're not going to talk about him anymore. That's all.
Guys, I think they call that pugilistic dementia.
Yeah. That is funny. We both know, like, our minds are saying the same thing, but none of our mouths can go ahead and follow through.
That's right.
Crazy. That is funny.
How about your guys?
That's the trivia question for tonight.
There you go. You know, if Chris Panarella hadn't take his didn't have to, his two boys were born on the 6th and 7th of December, so he's taking them out to dinner tonight. But if they had, if he was here, he'd be kicking all our asses right now.
That's my buddy. What a good guy.
Yeah. You know what, though? I'll tell you what. Dr. Chris wouldn't know this guy, though. This is one of these obscure guys who's, you know, hung around fringe contender status. And even more importantly, he's kind of current. Now, if he was a fringe contender from the 40s or 50s, oh, yeah. Dr. Chris could tell you where he trained and how big his ring size was. So.
That's Chris.
Yeah,
he's all about the history.
That's why he's our historian here. He sits there. He's got a ring magazine all the way back to 1942, and if we ask him a question, if he doesn't have the answer the next week, boy, he's got it. He's been downstairs reading. He's an amazing guy, terrific person.
Yeah, he'll find it for you.
Yeah. Well, who do you have? Do you have anything lined up for February? I know you said it, but do you have anything for like Frankie or any of those?
Well, we were trying to confirm a fight on January 31st, which we're pushing back a little bit. We're under negotiations with Dover Downs right now for a February card. And on that card, we were really trying to get somebody like Paredes from Florida to fight Ray Robinson. because you got two guys in the world rankings, and
I'm
our
sorry,
goal right now is just
for?
To keep Brett.
Hey, Dave, I'm sorry, I missed that. Who did you say you were going for?
We were looking. We were talking to Paredes. Paredes is people from Florida. Paredes.
Yeah,
Paredes.
I think it's Michael Paredes. Yeah.
Well, we were looking at him. I think he's like number five in the world right now.
Right. And
we thought, you know, opportunity maybe for the USBA title. There's been talk about Ray fighting for the NABA title, and so Ray hasn't had a problem collecting titles, but we're looking for these bigger opportunities with the big names, you know.
It's funny. He can win titles, but can't find challengers.
Right.
It's crazy.
Well, we also have Mike.
If you can be steered to a big money fight, that's what's going on in boxing today. Let's just be honest. You know what I mean? If you can be steered to a big money fight without really fighting a top contender, that's exactly what's going on.
How's Mikey doing?
Mikey's doing all right. He just came off a win. He's after all, he had a long layoff. He works in management now at Conrail, so that really held his career up for a little bit. But he's back on track. He scored a decision down at Dover Downs last month, so that was really good. And Frankie right now, Philippone, he's on the phone with me all the time. We got something to schedule. He just wants to be active. I just love his personality. I mean, he just wants to stay active. And we're looking for some opportunities for him as well.
Right. And, right. A real gentleman. All your guys.
Oh, class guy.
They just are, they're knowledgeable. They're very pleasant to talk to. I mean, we've had more fun with Ray on the phone and helping him push his gym on the radio here. And you're right. Should he become the champ, he would be an ambassador for the sport.
Ray has got crossover personality. He really does.
Right.
He's got cross, and you're absolutely right. The networks are missing out on him by not giving him a chance, because this is a guy you can put a mic in front of, and he will keep you in a chain. So I definitely hope he gets his shot too.
Well, that's the guys we've been signing over the last couple of years. Our goal was to, as we talked before about this, but signing these fighters, because boxing is such a great sport and we all love it. And when we could play a part, chance management could play a part with Ray Robinsons of the world and be behind these guys and really do everything we can to create these opportunities. When you have great fighters like this, fans want to see great fighters. But more importantly, Ray's a class act outside the ring. He stayed at – when he won the NABA interim title, he did the same thing when he won the USBA title in August. He stood till that last person – literally with the last person left. Maintenance people. He walked up and he's hugging maintenance people, people that were cleaning up.
Yep.
And but he would not leave because he felt obligated. And I said, Ray, you know what, Ray? I said, that's why people are going to love you. I said, because this is the things people – we're looking for this in fighters today. And fighters tend to be sometimes standoffish, I mean, a little shy. But Ray, I agree. I think Ray's one of these guys that, he's very articulate. He doesn't cuss. He doesn't drink. I mean, just the kind of guy you're looking for.
That's and it shows. It's really a pleasure when you have him on and you talk to him, and even when he talks about his gym, he talks about his partner and how she's helped him out with the nutrition and things like that, and it really is a pleasure to talk. Even Frankie, we're in the same job, and we talked afterwards about the job, He's a really neat kid. Well, he's not a kid, but to me he is, and I wish you all the luck with him, with all those guys. It's really a pleasure to have them on.
Well, we also have Cornelius Locke, and
Cornelius, right now.
We're excited. He went up to Jane Burchfield's card up at the Fox, the casino, what's it called? Up by New York, and it was a draw. He fought Mike Oliver to a draw. Mike was coming off a win against Eric Hunter from Philadelphia, and so we had a conversation with the WBA, and they would like a rematch with these two fighting for the NABA 126 pound title and a top 10 world rankings.
Nice.
So we're looking at that as the co-feature at Dover Downs. With Ray Robinson.
Great.
Cornelius Locke has been around that French contender level for a little bit now, so it'd be nice to see you guys, help him break through. So that'd be good.
Correct. He was with De La Hoya. He was with Golden Boy. and he fought the best.
A little bit too, wasn't he? Yeah.
Correct. And you guys, I don't know if you know this. He's the one that had done.
Yeah, well, that's the same V. I completely remember the whole thing.
Oh, he had a couple major 11th round. He had, I think it was Gonzalez had on his feet, and then I don't know if he got cut, but you know, I didn't have him at that time, but he's had some major fights. He's fought all the top contenders. So he's 33, 34 years old. So this is a good time for him to strike and create get an opportunity before he retires.
You know, it's funny because I used to, you know, jokingly and myself, you know, call him Cornelius Hard Luck because it just seemed like he just had hard luck. You know what I mean? So,
oh, he's one of those guys.
Yeah. I tell you, he's a dedicated professional who just had that hard luck. And, you know, and a lot of times when I see a fighter who has hard luck, like a Carlos Molina, who's fighting at 154, finally won a championship. When you see these guys that have hard luck, you know, I got to say, it usually speaks to the management. So I think it's great that he's with quality and integrity guys like you guys, Dave.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, that, and our the fighters, I'm always on the phone with him. And outside the ring, I think that's one of my big pushes is we've got to spend – I was talking to Alex Ramos out of California now, and we've been in dialogue and just really the betterment of boxing and making sure that, you know, outside the ring, I tell these guys, you know, let us help you. If you guys want to further your education, you know, if boxing is going to, if you're going to blink your eyes, it's going to be gone. But, you know, you could, education's key. You guys, outside of boxing, let's think about a career for you. So my partners, my business partners, we're all on the same page with that. We've got to figure out a way to make sure that Ray Robinson, you know, what can we do to help you in Philadelphia, your fitness gym, because really that's a career. And
right.
We hope you do make a lot of money and all that, but Ray's one of these guys that's so self-motivated. And sometimes with us, you know, people like us behind him, if we can help kickstart him to go to the next level, he's the type of guy you want to keep getting behind because he just gets it all. You know, he works hard. He gets it all he's got.
You know, Alex has always been a favorite of ours. In fact, Bobby and I both sat on his board of the Retired Boxers Association.
Talk
about a man who's just integrity to the T, and his assistant Jackie and her husband actually paying for some of the expenses of the boxers. It's just amazing people, just amazing people.
Great people. We need, boxing needs more people like that, and they're out there. We just, you know, when we did the gala in Atlantic City last year, it was so nice that I had the privilege of Chuck Wepner. We came up, we gave plaques, and a lot of the fighters showed up, and I had the privilege of introducing Bob Wall for the Lifetime Achievement Award, one of the New York Boxing Commissioners. Bob relocated here. He located to Delaware. He retired, came to Delaware. I got to be friends with him, and you'll know his face because he's always on TV, but because he's always in the corner. Bob Wall, class act. Oh my God! Just people like that we really need to highlight in boxing.
Bob Wall, the comedian and actor, right?
Bob Wall, he's on the commission of New York Boxing Commission, the older gentleman.
Okay. I'm thinking of someone else. Okay, I apologize.
No problem. But Bob, but these are the people like the Alex Ramoses that we really need to be featuring, I believe, to say this is what boxing's all about. But you know, Jackie and Alex and Bob Walls, we got so many great people. Even like you guys, you got, you know, there's a lot of positive in boxing. And to me, we need to get that out. And so, you know, and I tell the fighters that too. I said, guys, you know, you're a spokesperson for the sport, and that's going to be good or bad, so you make sure it's good.
Right.
Well, you know, anytime you have anybody that you want us to highlight, just let us know, and we'll set them right up that Saturday, and we're ready to go because it's always a pleasure to talk to you and your brother and your nephew and the guys.
And your fighters
you
as well. All your fighters as well.
They're just so – they're well educated in the fact that they could, you know, not only be champions in the ring, but when they come out, they can talk to kids and talk to people, and they really make everybody feel at ease. It's a real easy interview.
Well, you guys are great. I mean, I think it's so important what you're doing is giving the, you know, from the champion down to the four-round fighters to give them opportunity because – this is really good for them. It's really good to see that, you know, it gives them a voice in the things that they're doing in their camps. They're doing, you know, like Ray and his fitness and his business. And so, you know, that gives them an opportunity also, gives them experience And so we appreciate it on our side as well.
Good. Well, Dave, we want to thank you for giving us this time tonight. Please please wish your family, the whole family, everybody, your wife, the kids, and Nick and his kids, and Joey and everybody, a very happy holiday from us. And we'll be looking forward to more outstanding things from Champ Sports.
Thanks, guys. And I'll keep you informed on everything going on.
Please do.
Hey, and Dave, if you're not too busy, enjoy the fights tonight, man.
Hey, it sounds good. That's a good idea. We'll have to talk about it afterwards.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks for the opportunity.
Thank
you. Have a good one. Take care.
You too. Good night.
Good night. Well, Ty, that was a great interview. And
God,
you know,
I
Dave
love
is
having that guy on, man.
Yeah, it's
love
always
him,
fun to have
him
or his fighters on. Even Nick is fun to have on. But, we're hitting here to the little hands of the clock, and
that was
a
very, very, very fast hour, wasn't it, Butch?
Yeah. Wow.
You know, it's funny because we're all getting older, and I always feel like if I ever want time to stop, all I have to do is go to the gym and start working out, and time just stops. It freezes while I'm working out. If I'm going to do cardio for 30 minutes, the longest 30 minutes ever. This is the quickest hour of the week we just spent right here. So I just want to definitely thank Dave Tiberi for joining us. We wish everyone had a great holidays. We miss Zito. We hope he enjoys his anniversary, he and his lovely wife, Tasha. Bob is our co-pilot. We'll see you all guys next week.
Hey, well, I want to thank Dave for being on with us. I want to wish Chris and Tony Panarella very happy birthdays. I know your dad's going to be listening to this when he gets home. So I hope you all have a good time. As an update for everybody, Dr. Chris did have some minor surgery about 3 weeks ago. They did not get what they were after. He had to go back in again this week, and it seems that he is he's doing okay right now. But we want to wish him a strong road back to health.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night in grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women in police and fire services. When you're out there and you see a man or woman in uniform, just walk up to them and say thank you. It means the world to everybody. These programs are also dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogel, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Uniform Division, Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Shillen Collier, and Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields, and the sun shine softly on your face. And may the good Lord keep you and your family always in the hollow of his hands. Good night.
Shemalek ma yelama, shema hezahilma, sona shenevoratfet hakuigema.
And we love it.